My name is Katie Greenwood, and I am the curriculum director at Randall House in D6. And my favorite hat to wear, though, is wife to Steve Greenwood. He is my best friend of 35 years. We've been married 30 years. That's my favorite hat to wear. And then right after that, I get to be mom to Abby, Allie, and Andy. I've got two girls who are school teachers in the Nashville area, and then I have one who is looking at what God wants her to do as far as missions. She's really got a heart and a passion for the mission field, and so she's trying to navigate what she's supposed to do with that. And then I also get to wear the hat of grandmother to two golden doodle puppies, and they are my joy. I love them. So anyway, if you want to see pictures of the cutest dogs in the world, I'll meet you over here afterwards. But their names are Bentley and Milo, and our oldest has those two dogs, and so we're loving getting to be grandparents to puppies. I didn't think that I would be as fanatical about it as I am, but I'm pretty much pathetic, so I can't even try to pretend that I'm not. But today we're going to talk about discipleship tools for every day. And you're probably already thinking, she said she works for Randall House. She's a curriculum director. This is going to be an infomercial for Randall House curriculum. It's not. I might mention it because it's something that I'm familiar with. It's something that I know about. It's something that I want you to know about. So from time to time, I'll plug a couple things or make sure that you're aware. But overall, we're going to talk about just some basic principles of discipleship that sometimes get overlooked. And I'm talking about discipleship within our homes, discipleship within our churches, and discipleship just one-on-one as we're interacting with people that the Lord puts in our pathway. So that's where we're going to go. I do not have a fancy PowerPoint because I don't trust technology, and it stresses me out to try to trust technology. So we're going to do it without technology, since I don't get to have Steve here with me to handle that if it doesn't obey me. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your love for us. We're grateful for the common bond that we have in you because of your word, because of the fact that we get to be called your sons and daughters, that we get to be in your family. And Lord, even beyond that, because of the event that we're at this week, Lord, we're brothers and sisters in a denomination as well, and we have that camaraderie. But Father, I just pray that you would help us to realize that above all, we are your children, and that we've been tasked by you and through your word to be disciples and to be disciple makers. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us to think about what that means for us individually and how we can better honor you and glorify you with the way that we go about our daily lives with that in mind. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified during our time together, and just help us to share ideas with one another and just to have a good time just talking about you and your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so every day, I know Steve sometimes likes to tease the kids when he teaches them that God wants us to serve him on all the days that end in Y. And so then when you stop and think about that, the kids are like, oh, that's every day, you know. And of course it is, but by default, we often get into a mindset where we put our discipleship hat on Sundays and Wednesdays, and possibly during other times when we're going to a convention or we're going to a retreat or we know we're going to be at a certain event. And I think we forget that the Word teaches us that we are to be about our Father's business Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, even though we tend to put God in a box that on the calendar that looks like Sunday and possibly Wednesday. So we're going to use that analogy of the days of the week and talk about some different aspects of discipleship that are important to us. And so if you want to make yourself a list, you can. We're going to have S, M, Sunday, Monday, T for Tuesday, W for Wednesday, TH for Thursday, F for Friday, and another S for Saturday. So that's kind of where we're going to go with that. And so the very first one that we're going to talk about is S for scripture. It makes sense that we would go right there. You know, when you teach kids and you say, okay, what's the right answer to a question? If they say the Bible or Jesus, it's always the right answer, and they'll try that. You know, you can say, so what did we learn about today? Jesus. Okay, right, but who was the person that ran away from God and went to Nineveh instead of Tarsus, and or the other way around? And who did that? Jesus? No, he was with him, but who was it, you know? But they always want to give that answer, and sometimes, you know, we take for granted that the word is always the answer. But one of the best ways that we can integrate discipleship into our lives is to make sure that we're integrating scripture into our lives, that we're looking at what God says in his word about discipleship, about teaching others. And you know, there's that very familiar passages in the New Testament that we call the Great Commission. And so sometimes we even mess that up because we want it to not be as applicable to us. So we say, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And we want to think about it being something that you do over there, that you go overseas and do, or you go to another state and do. But we put the emphasis in the wrong place, because the imperative there from the Lord is to make disciples. So go make disciples of all nations and of all people. And so our job from the Lord himself is to make disciples. And so sometimes for you that looks like in your workplace. Sometimes it looks like in your family. Sometimes it might be your neighborhood. Sometimes it might be that grocery store clerk that you see over and over again. But when you are spending time in scripture, and when we allow scripture to be a part of our lives, we're going to be reminded from that word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that is going to rightly divide truth, that is going to permeate our hearts and encourage us to be disciple makers. So having scripture as part of your daily routine is one of the best ways that you can focus on discipleship. We don't need to just read when we're preparing our lessons. We don't need to only read scripture when we're looking for a verse we want to write at the bottom of a card at graduation time. We don't need to only look at scripture at times when we're struggling and we want something to encourage us. Scripture ought to be part of our daily bread. We eat every day. We need to feast every day on his word. So scripture is that very first letter. So as we're looking at the days of the week, Sunday, the S, the scripture. And obviously it's kind of convenient that it falls on Sunday, because that is that day in our week that often many of us are kind of recharging and plugging in with the body of believers. And so that's our S. The next one is M, and that goes along with the S for scripture. That's memory. One of the biggest reminders to me is the fact that our Lord set the example for using scripture, which means it was he memorized it, it was in his heart. Now, of course, if you want to get technical, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So obviously Jesus was the Word too, so he didn't have to memorize it because he was it. But that's a seminar that someone else is going to do. But that example is set for us. Our Lord showed us that when temptation comes, when hard times came for him in the desert, what did he use to fight off those temptations? What did he show us was a valuable way to keep the evil one from winning the battle? And it was scripture. He threw back scripture at Satan. He threw back scripture that he knew would refute the things that the evil one was saying. And so that's such a great example for us to hide it in our hearts and to realize if we're going to be what we need to be for the Lord individually, as well as encouraging others, we've got to hide his word in our heart. We've got to make it something that we can recall. Now, some of you are probably intimidated by that. I know that I can be, because I'm really good at remembering the bulk of something, but maybe not word for word. Or I can tell you, I know this is what it says, but I'm not positive which verse it is, and I might have to look that up. Or I know somewhere in Psalms it says this, but I might not know the exact verse sometimes. Don't be intimidated by expecting perfection when it comes to that. It's good to know those things, and I'm not downplaying being able to know exactly the words and exactly where to find. But I think that's a ploy of the evil one to get us to think, you know what, if you can't learn it perfectly, if you couldn't win Bible memorization at the national competition with it, then you don't need to even assume that you're memorizing, because you're not. That's not true. So we need to allow the word to get into our hearts the way that the Lord puts it there. And his emphasis for you might be different from his emphasis for me in a verse. Not that it means something different for us. I'm not saying that. But maybe I need to focus on being more kind than I do tender-hearted in that verse. Maybe you need to focus on being more forgiving than you do kind. So there's times when different passages, different verses are going to hit us a different way. And you've probably felt that way at different seasons in your life. Certain verses mean something different to you. It's that way even for songs and different scripture or worship settings. I know for me, when I was first pregnant with my first child, the concept of Mary and what she went through, Christmas carols as well as scriptures about it, hit me in a way that I never had thought of it before because of that season in my life. As a parent, dealing with a child who's a young adult now and going out on her own and being independent, there are different things that are going to hit. So just be mindful of the fact that every time we spend in the Word, every passage we commit to memory is going to be valuable to us for such a time that we're in, because the Lord will use that to encourage us. So then we've got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. This is one of my favorites because I used to make this hard in life. T is a reminder to capture teachable moments. And that's not just for parents. But sometimes we make explaining scripture or teaching about the Lord, talking about God and what he's doing in our lives, sometimes we make that harder than it needs to be. And we think it's got to be a formal kind of a setting. I know even in the example of parenting, you know, you think, I want to teach my kids about the Lord. I want to teach them. We're going to have a family devotion time. And it just doesn't always work out that we can gather in the living room, everyone in a great mood, at 5 o'clock every night to have our family devotion time at 5 o'clock every night. Children's schedules don't always allow for that. Babies' diaper change needs don't always allow for that. You know, there's all kinds of things that could come into play. And so when we make it try to fit in this box that's got to be perfect and have these parameters, we're not making it what it needs to be. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said, teach these things when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk along the way. Basically, I think if the Lord was rewriting the scriptures today, he might would even say something like, talk about these things when you're on the way to soccer practice, when you're in the grocery store line together, when you're washing the dog in the backyard together. In other words, capture those teachable moments throughout life, those daily interactions that you have with people, and look for ways to bring me into that, the Lord is saying. And I think if we look at it that way, it's so much easier. You know, when the grocery store clerk asks you how your day's going, or you ask them to encourage them with something, look for ways to bring the Lord into it. Look for ways to say, you know what? I'm so grateful the Lord has given us a great day, hasn't he? Well, that's the same thing kind of as saying, well, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? But by bringing it and say the Lord has given us a good day, you have planted a seed. You have done a little bit of discipleship in that you're pointing someone to think about the fact that these days are a gift from the Lord, and that he is the one that created our world, and he is the one that can control the weather. And so looking for ways to point others to the Lord can be just as simple as that. I know even looking at the changing leaves on the tree, you know, we all talk about how beautiful the fall colors are, and hopefully soon we're going to get to see that. I'm telling myself that because it's really hot this time of summer. But you start seeing those things. It's easy to just say, oh, look how beautiful the fall colors are. But what about, wow, we serve a creative God. Have you seen that tree over on the corner of West and Main? Just little things that we can say, and it teaches ourselves to think that way, but it also is a way for us to use those conversational moments to point people back to the Lord and to be part of discipleship. You see, the whole point of this conversation in this seminar is that discipleship doesn't have to always be just a formal program of our lives or a formal set of rules and lessons that we check off. It's a lifestyle, and it's the way that the Lord called the disciples when he said to them, he said, hey, come with me, follow me, let's go do this. And I'm always amazed when I think it's Andrew and John, Simon and John, I don't know which ones it was, but where there's a passage where it says, and they immediately dropped their nets and followed him. Like immediately, the word immediately or right away is used in the scripture. And I'm like, I know myself. I'm like, all right, let me think about this. What's the pros and cons? What do I feel like doing? What would happen if I did this? Like, how many times do we just with abandon say, okay, I'm there. And yet that's what the Lord called for discipleship. And so for us to look at that and go, okay, I don't have to just uproot my family and move to Mongolia in order to be a disciple for the Lord. But I can uproot my comfortable way of thinking and say, whatever I do today, it's going to be for your glory. And I'm going to look for opportunities today to put myself closer to the Lord as well as point others to him. So remember, as we talk about these things, discipleship doesn't have to be something formal. It's just these little decisions that make a big difference. So scripture, memorizing scripture, capturing those teachable moments and looking for ways to insert the Lord and his word into things is important. And then words for Wednesday. Whether it's words that we say to the Lord or words that we say to others. So it's prayer, it's conversations. Conversations whether we're talking to God or whether we're talking about him. So think about the words that you say. What are you saying to others that is encouraging them, that's uplifting them? What are you saying to the Lord? Are we always going to him in prayer and asking for things? Are we always being that kid who's begging? Okay, if you're a parent, you know that going to the grocery store with a hungry child is annoying. Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? I want that. I want that. I want that. And before you know it, there's stuff flying into the grocery cart and you've got to sort through before you go through the checkout line. But let's not be that. Let's not be that kid to the Lord who's always begging and asking for one more thing. He loves our requests. He loves to hear us for sure. But are we taking the time to be thankful? Are we taking the time every day to find something, even on hard days, to be thankful for? Are we taking the time to say, man, God, you're amazing. I looked at the sky today. The sunset was beautiful. Like, how many of you notice a rainbow when you see it or notice a sunset and you think, wow, that's beautiful? But do we stop and say, instead of just that's beautiful, do we take the time to say, Lord, how majestic is that view? And you did that. Thank you. Thank you for making that sight so that I could see it. You know, we take for granted sometimes. We just go through our day and our words don't reflect a heart for him or a mindfulness of the fact that he is in all these details. So think about the words that you use, the things that you say to people, the things that you say to the Lord. And think about the ways that those can be more uplifting, more encouraging, more scriptural. One of my favorite things to do is to look at passages of scripture and pray them back to the Lord and to use his words because, you know, his words, he's going to like them because he wrote them. So that's a good thing to do. Use his words. But if you think about it, take scripture, pray it back to the Lord. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, thank you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you that even though I'm exhausted right now, thank you that you made me to be able to push through and make a difference for you this week. Help me continue to lean on you with this. So look for ways to use your words the way that you can to point others to him and yourself. Then the TH. I don't know about you, when I write my weeks, I don't put another T for Thursday. I put the H there because sometimes I guess I'm afraid I'm not going to remember that that's not Tuesday again. I don't know, but I always put TH. Theology. Now, this seems like a no-brainer. If we're going to be disciples, we need to be aware of theology. But I tell you that because in today's world, more and more there's false teaching. Be aware in your world, in the things that you use, the books that you're reading, the podcasts that you're listening to, the conversations that you're having. Be grounded enough in the Word and theologically correct so that when you are having these discussions, you're not, sometimes inadvertently or sometimes just because you're being careless, that you're not just disregarding biblical truth for what seems to be popular in culture, what seems to be the thing that everyone, the craze that everyone's on right now, or the book that everyone's reading. Make sure that theologically, that biblically, the things that you're applying in your life are from Him and not just from a really great speaker who's really charismatic in their approach to presenting things and easy to listen to and can get you all fired up, but at the end of the day, it's not quite lined up with Scripture. And if we focus more on personalities of people or authors or podcasters than we do the message and where it's coming from, we can get ourselves into a lot of trouble and be down the road of being off base quicker than we realize it. So I think it's so important for us to make sure that whatever we're using as a discipleship tool, a Bible study, make sure it really is lining up with Scripture. Just because a publisher has put it out doesn't mean that it's biblical in its full sense. So be mindful of that. Be careful about that. Then F, fellowship. I think it's so important for us to be mindful of our fellowship opportunities when we're thinking about discipleship in our lives. Who are we hanging out with? Who are we plugging into? Who are we encouraging? And some of you might be saying, oh, okay, so she's probably saying make sure you don't hang out with unbelievers. That's not at all what I'm saying. In fact, I'm saying we need to be making sure that we're not only hanging out with people who are in our bubble, so to speak. When Jesus went to the well to talk with or to get some water and he saw the woman at the well, he didn't shy away from an opportunity to meet her where she was and point her back to truth. And to even, she understood the concept of the well and the water and having to dig down deep and get it for clean water. And he used that analogy to talk to her about living water and about water that was going to provide eternal satiation, but that's for hunger. What's the, not thirst, what's the opposite of thirst? I'm drawing a blank. Yeah. Eternal hydration for hers, eternal life, just that whole concept of plugging into or drawing from the living water that he was talking about. And so he looked for opportunities. Even fellowshipping with someone who wasn't already one of his disciples. But I think even when we get with our friends who we already know they're believers, you know, if I sit down with Chloe, who happens to be a friend of our families and like one of our own daughters, if she's hanging out with me, it's still important for me to point her to the Lord and for her to say things that are going to point me to the Lord. Just because we know someone's a believer doesn't mean that we just kind of take a pass and take off our discipleship hat and just kind of rest a little bit. Now, we all have moments where we need to just kind of chill or take a break, but we need to be iron sharpening iron for one another. We need to be encouraging one another, building one another up. And sometimes around our friends, we don't do what Scripture tells us. We don't speak the word, the truth in love, the way that He tasks us to do. And I think if we're really being great disciples and friends and looking at discipleship in our fellowship, we're going to look for ways to challenge our brothers and sisters, to encourage them, but then also to point our unbelieving friends to the Lord. And we're going to do it in a different way. We're not going to maybe be as direct or as pointed with people that we don't know, because
we don't have that relationship. We don't have that bond already. But there's a verse in Proverbs, I think, that says the wounds of a friend are true and are helpful and are valuable in our lives because we have that history together. So I can say something to you, and hopefully you're not going to be as offended as a stranger would be because you know I love you. You know that we have history together. And so I'm saying this because I've got your best interest at heart, that kind of thing. And so our fellowship needs to be peppered with all kinds of different opportunities for us. And so think right now about your circle, the people that you spend time with. Are they all believers? Do you have an outlet where you can regularly point others to the Lord? I know a guy in our town who goes to the Home Depot just about every day. He's retired, and he goes to the Home Depot about every day, supposedly to look in the bargain bin of wood that's been cut improperly or whatever so that he can get some things, supposedly because he doesn't sit well still at home. But really what he's doing is he's going to interact with those same workers day in and day out and get to know them, build a rapport with them so that he can, when certain things come up, he can point them to the Lord and he can say, you know what, I've been praying about that. You mentioned your daughter was having that surgery. How did that go? I've been praying for you, and be able to encourage. And so who are those people in your life? Are there regular clerks? Is your mailman someone that you see on a regular basis? Is there a coworker that you see on a regular basis, a student in your classes that you see? Look for ways to provide or to put yourself into areas of fellowship that are going to provide opportunities. But at the same time, I think it's important to guard your fellowship, your close, your intimate interactions with people that you are going to draft from, people that you're going to really deeply listen to and put a lot of stock in what they say. Make sure that those people are grounded and that those people are coming from a biblical perspective. So there's a challenge there to be careful both ways. But I think one of the worst things that believers can do in our culture is to present themselves as being better than, or having arrived, or having all the answers. And I think sometimes we fail to guard that. I don't know that everyone who comes across that way is intentionally coming across that way, but I think we need to be mindful that we don't present ourselves as in those ways, because it's important for people to see the grace of our Lord, the mercy of our God, the love, the unconditional love that our God gives, and the forgiveness that he provides. And so it doesn't mean, you know, you're just going to go around sinning just so you can say, hey, God forgave me, I wanted you to know that. You know, I'm not saying that, but I think you understand where I'm coming from. We need to be mindful of how we present ourselves and how we encourage those around us with our example. And then the last S is service. And that is for us to think about the ways that we can serve one another, whether it's in the body or beyond. But look for ways to be a disciple by serving. You know, the word says that they will know we are Christians by our love, that the people will know that we are disciples of him by the way that we treat one another, by the way that we interact with society. When someone thinks of you or your family, are you loving? Are you encouraging? Or are you that neighbor that's always calling the HOA because the grass isn't the way you want it to be, or the bushes need to be cut? Are you always that nitpicky person? Or are you grace-giving and loving and encouraging? How are you serving in your community? How are you serving at your church? How are you serving your family, your spouse, your children, your extended family? And sometimes these things can step on our toes, but the word reminds us that we are to bear one another's burdens, that we are to encourage one another, and so fulfill the law. So as disciples, as those trying to be what God wants us to be, we're being told basically, you're going to need to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. You're going to need to give up that one free night you've got this week and go ahead and help at this or that, or go ahead and make that meal for that family that's having a rough time, just to say to them, hey, I can't take away this diagnosis that you guys have just gotten, but I can give you a casserole. I can make you a chicken pot pie that can maybe take something off your plate that you don't have to worry about dinner tonight. I just want you to know that I'm thinking about you and praying for you. When we add service to our words, it says something to people. It's real easy to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Let me ask you something. Don't raise your hands. Have you ever said I'm praying for you and then you never really did pray? Not that you intended to be that way, but it's so easy to throw those words out there and then not do it. And I'll be honest, sometimes if I'm real in the moment when something like, I have to make myself right then go ahead and say, okay, Lord, please help. And then I try to come back maybe and give it some more, but I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to just throw out words. But man, how much easier. What can we do to put some service to it? What can we do to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, to serve others? So what I want us to do now is to think about those days of the week, that scripture, the memory, the teachable moments, the way we use our words with the Lord and with others, theological groundedness, fellowship, and service. What are some things that stand out to you that have worked for you, that you've seen in others' lives along those lines, that you feel like are helpful in trying to live a life of discipleship? What are some things that you've noticed? What are some things you've tried that have been helpful for you to stay on track in some of these areas? Do you have any suggestions or thoughts?
Participation.
Absolutely. Be involved. That's great. You know, you could be in your hotel room right now. You could be walking around the lovely, safe area of Memphis that we're in. You could be doing all kinds of things, but you're here. That's great. Participation. It'd be easier to stay at home sometimes, wouldn't it? Anyone else? Yes, you know, the word tells us very specifically about care for widows and orphans. And that's a big deal. And it's easy for us, even when an orphan a widow is still able to get about, we sometimes forget they still need help. There's still things that would be helpful. And it will take you 30 minutes to do a task that might take them a lot longer and money to pay someone to do. So that's a great reminder. Yeah.
We try to do a lot of community things. I've done clothing giveaways, do a yard sale, raise money for the angel trees.
Mm-hmm.
The little town we live in, Mulberry, is a poor type community. So we do try to do a lot of that stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And if we aren't having conversations and Jesus is the topic, then I think we have to analyze what truly is important.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, just think about your conversation with someone. And at the end of a day, it's very humbling to make yourself do the exercise of going back and thinking through what parts of my day did I use to point others to Him? What did I say today? What did I do today that would be actively living out scripture in my life or being a disciple? It's humbling.
Maybe one of the things that in our church, my husband and I, we are the senior citizens of our church because we have a very young church because it's close to an army base. And so we're the only ones basically 50 and older. And I used to complain to my husband, but then he reminded me that scripture teaches us that I'm supposed to be mentoring these younger women. And it's okay for me to look at these teenage girls and teenage boys and say, hey, what can I do to help you? You know,
right.
Intergenerational teaching, you know.
Right. Yes.
Instead of complaining about, I don't have any friends, you know, maybe
yes.
I'm going to get out there and, you know.
Right.
My mother-in-law is 83 years old, and she comes to the girls' Bible study every week, and they're all old enough to be her, or young enough to be her grandchildren, you know. But she loves it, and they absolutely adore her being in there, you know. And they just, because they drink from her wisdom, you know. She goes bowling with.
That's wonderful.
Those picnics and, you know,
yes.
And her, their kids love her. So,
yes.
You know, I have to be more mindful that I can broaden my scope.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there with the others.
Yes.
The mentor that I'm supposed to
be. Yes. I think we need to be careful of it, but I do think it's good to share our failures with other people. I don't think we need to just, you know, go around talking. But I think sometimes we present ourselves as having it all together and not struggling. And I know even in parenting, it's easy to look at mothers today and for me to say, my kids never did that in my mind. Now, I wouldn't say that to them, but then I think about the fact that my kids weren't exposed to easy access to media and didn't have their own iPads to just be struggling, you know, with all the time. So it's easy to say, she lets him be on the iPad way too much. You know, well, I can think that in my mind and I can, but what would I have done in that generation? Would I have, you know, been more likely to, I don't know. And so I need to remind myself, instead of pointing out or thinking critically that she shouldn't be doing this, what can I do to encourage that mom? How can I give that mom a break? How can I, you know, offer to keep her kids for a little while and just spend some time with them instead of only thinking about how we didn't do it that way back in my day, you know? But yeah, that investing in the younger generation is so valuable and important. I know a lady who invites girls into her home to teach them how to do some of her favorite recipes. And it's because she knows that their moms are really busy and there's the art of cooking for yourself and recipes and stuff like that in these families that she's reaching out to is kind of lost, and she wants these girls to know how to do that. So instead of saying, because your mom is not teaching you, I'm gonna, you know, she invites them in and says, hey, here's one of my favorite recipes. I'm gonna teach you all how to make it, and you're gonna take one home to your families. And so it's her way of pouring in and teaching, and then it's inspiring those girls to want to know more about cooking, and so they then are doing more at home too. But it's not some official Bible study that she's doing with these girls necessarily, but as she's talking about life with them and they're doing this recipe together, it comes up in conversation. Opportunities are there for her to point them back to the Lord. So there's all kinds of ways that we can point into if we'll just get involved and participate, like you're saying.
I just recently realized that texting words of encouragement to individuals that I ran across throughout the day or through the week seems to open doors.
Absolutely. He said texting words of encouragement to people that he runs across throughout the day has opened some doors for him. And let's face it, we all say we're too busy to do certain things, but how long does it take to text, hey, you came to my mind today, I was just thinking about you and wanted to let you know, or I'm praying for you, or check in about something? It doesn't take that long, and to be honest, you can copy and paste that and send it to various people. And if you mean it, like, I'm not saying be disingenuous, but if you really mean it, then send it to several people. Man, boom, you've made 5 connections, encouraged 5 people with one little wait at the waiting room, or while you're waiting for you're in line at the checkout or whatever. There's so many ways we could take captive some moments that we've got and do something beneficial for it. I mean, we scroll through numerous social media sites whenever we get a chance. I mean, and it, certain generation too, but I mean, you constantly see people, as soon as something's over, they get their phone, they're looking, and then something happens, they're like, okay,
Let me get back here again. I mean, how quickly could one of those times be an encouragement, a verse that we send to someone? So the challenge really is for all of us to capture those teachable moments, capture those opportunities, those conversations that we could have, and look for ways that we can make discipleship more real in our lives and more something that we just naturally do. It doesn't need to be a formal program that we're going through. It doesn't need to be a formal study that we're doing. The Lord just wants us to be disciples and to learn from Him and point others to Him in very natural and viral, if you will, ways. Someone texts a scripture to the pastor to encourage him. Yeah. Guys, our pastors and our leaders and our teachers are human people too. They need to be encouraged too. And often they're forgotten. And like the pastor's wife, they're in the fishbowl. They're in a situation where they don't have the same freedom, unfortunately, to have the friendships and relationships, because if they get together with this family too much, even though they have a really great bond with them, then this family over here gets their feelings hurt that the pastor's got favorites and stuff like that. And we forget. We forget that they need to be encouraged too. Sure, they preach the word. They're familiar with the Bible. It doesn't mean the word's not going to be encouraging to them. So that's a wonderful reminder to remember our leaders too. How does Dad react when someone cuts him off on the road? How does Dad react when they send the wrong food in the delivery order or whatever? Even little things like that, yeah. And that's what it's about, us just looking for opportunities the Lord gives us to shine for Him and to draw ourselves to Him as well as drawing others to Him.